Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with your gardening quandaries. My guest this week is Simon Crawford, a man with a lifetime's experience in the seed trade. We launched together Tomato Red Alert, named by a Sun reader over 40 years ago. My thanks to Hayloft Nurseries, sponsor of this podcast. I cut my first windowsill cucumber this week, the variety Emily. You know, it's really quite easy to do. You just sow one seed in a pot in February. It's warm enough in most households. Sits on the windowsill and you just grow it up a cane. And in no time at all, you have these mini cucumbers. I've done it too with Mini Munch, another all-female cucumber. But of course, just very small size, just 2 or 3 inches long, and they'll produce several fruits at each leaf joint. The asparagus too, that cropped very well in the warm weather over Easter. With the colder nights, it slowed down a bit. But in Essex, boy, the soil's dry. And when I gave the asparagus bed a really good watering, it was amazing how the spears came through quicker and much thicker too. So if you're on very light land or if it's dry, giving the asparagus a drink could be useful advice. I cursed the gale last weekend. Why is it when the trees just start to break and all that young foliage is so soft and beautifully light green, we get one of those really bruising winds that fetch the leaves off even? It checks the growth of some trees, particularly the fine cut-leaved maples. But there we are. Weather is something over which we have no control, and we just need to live with it. I understand that those people growing stuff for Chelsea have found life a bit testing too. I mean, the very warm weather in February was fine, as long as things like delphinium had a really good freeze before they went undercover. And I cut my first delphinium flower in a polythene tunnel this week. But I hear from John Wheatley that the dahlias don't like these cold nights and really cloudy, overcast days. He looks as if he's going to be short on bloom for his Chelsea Flower Show exhibit. But the vegetables apparently have grown very well. And so he'll just have to rejig things a bit and have a few more veg and not quite so many dahlias. He always comes up with the goods, this John, and I look forward to seeing his exhibit later this month. My guest this week on our podcast is Simon Crawford. We go back quite a long way. I dread to think how many years ago it was we first met, but he really does know the seed trade back to front. And of course, as a given us one or two rather remarkable plants. I seem to remember Tomato Red Alert, which was one of your offspring, I think.
That was, my first variety, Peter. You were extremely helpful in the introduction of that variety. It was bred when I was at Asthma Seeds in Leicester. It was the result, actually, of a cross by, it was made by Dr. Paul Parker at Leicester University. And then selections made by me at the Syston Trial Grounds, which I know you will remember very clearly. And I think you saw it and said, oh, we really ought to do something with that.
And it was a Sun reader who named it. We had a competition to name this the earliest of all really good flavoured bush tomatoes, and it's still available today, isn't it?
It is, yes.
If you want to pick ripe tomatoes in July, then you need Red Alert. Yeah. What I can't remember, Simon, yes, you were with Harrison's of Leicester, but they linked up into Asthma Seeds. Who were the other companies? Were there four companies?
Yeah, well, it was more than that, I think, Peter. It was the amalgamation had taken place, I think, before I joined them, but I was at the Harrison's site, and it linked Clucas's of Ormskirk, Deal Cullen of Essex, who you probably will remember very well, and also there was Yates of Evesham. So that was the combination that brought about the Amalgamated Seed Merchants, or ASMA. And Mr. Kershaw, who was managing director at the time, actually masterminded that. And then not long after, Martin Clucas of Clucas's of Ormskirk took over as managing director. And it was during his period Red Alert came to market.
There are some great names there. Old Mr. Deal, I think I've got the right one, out of Witham. He used to telephone the railways, and they would actually stop the train at the local station and pick him up to take him into London for the weekly seed market. Yeah, those were the days. I mean, I think there were 20 seed companies in Essex then.
Yeah, things have changed enormously.
Yeah. So where did you go then from ASMA?
Things changed quite a lot at ASMA, and I was looking for some other opportunities in broadening scope. So at the time, all UK were setting up a research station in South Cambridgeshire, Great Abington. And I wrote to one of the chiefs of that particular company at the time, George Ball, asking him if any jobs would be available. And it wasn't long after that I was having an interview and had moved down to Suffolk and was working at Great Abington, where I was working under very, talented flower breeder Roland Goddard, and also worked with Brian Talman, who was an excellent horticulturalist and seedsman. And I've learned a lot at ASMA, but I learned, I think, even more during my period at Ball UK.
I mean, you mentioned some good names there through those early years and even to the present. You still keep moving a bit of pollen, don't you?
Yes, and I moved on from working for Ball there and moved to the US. But then coming back to the UK, I did a number of things, but eventually came back to contacting George Ball again in 2005-2006, and he was looking for someone to help out. And to cut a long story short, we started breeding tomatoes again here in the UK, based in East Yorkshire. I started to look at blight-resistant varieties of tomato for outdoor use, so early fruiting. And I also started to offer the Burpee products for sale. Burpee had withdrawn, if you remember, Peter, from the European market in the mid-1990s because they'd been taken over by the Ball Group, actually. Pan American Seed took over their range. We started to sell Burpee items again in Europe, which has been quite successful, I have to say. But our breeding program focused on tomatoes, and so the first variety we released was something called Crimson Crush, which we released through Sutton's. And since then, we've also introduced another bush variety, Baby Boomer. And since then, we've got a number of introductions that we made last year, and we will make new introductions this year as well. Last year's introduction was a variety called Shimmer, which was a finalist in the Chelsea Plant of the Year competition. That's being offered by our friends at Mr. Fothergill Seeds. And we've also released another blight-resistant variety called Oh Happy Day. This year we will introduce a variety called Cocktail Crush, which is being offered by our colleagues at King's. Andrew Toakley is taking that one on, as well as Fothergill's. And we've got a Sungold type orange cherry, which we're calling Honeycomb. And that, again, will be released. Well, it was released last year, but it will become more freely available this year. It's being offered by Sutton Seeds at the moment. The Shimmer was bred by my colleague in the Netherlands. And we still are working on tomatoes, but in Holland now. So we I focus now on marketing and product development, where the breeding program is based in Holland under my colleague Henk van der Velde. But I still have an interest in sweet peas, and I still do a little bit of sweet pea breeding with my eldest daughter in mind, as she runs a little web shop. So I do keep my hand in, and I'm still interested in tomato breeding.
Where can we go with tomatoes? I mean, there's just so many now, isn't there? I find giving advice on what to grow quite difficult. I mean, I'm afraid I use Sun Gold and Red Alert as two bankers, but they're both small fruited. And if you want to go up to the traditional fruit size, then is it Country Fresh? I quite like. There's no point growing a tomato in your backyard if it doesn't taste good, is there? So, I mean, taste has to be first, and then blight resistance, pretty important next.
Yeah, it's strange that no one really has tried harder to put flavour and blight resistance together, but I think those are the main areas that we've got to look at. So earliness for outdoor production in the UK, flavour. You're right, I think, Peter, number one priority should be flavour. And then general disease resistance, but particularly to potato, tomato blight. But I think also, you know, the climate is changing, I think. But I still think some additional cold tolerance and selecting for cold tolerance would be an advantage. That's really how the Red Alert program started. We were looking for colder tolerant type tomatoes. Even then, with added disease resistance now, I think there are some possibilities for developing good new varieties.
Yes, I mean, Red Alert, one of the parents was it Subarctic Cherry,
right,
or Subarctic Plenty?
Subarctic Plenty, and the other parent was Gardener's Delight for the flavour.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I still think those basic ideas still need further work, and I do believe there are a number of options. Can we get the flavour of Sun Gold into a bush cherry variety? And I don't see why not, Peter, to be honest.
It's just time, isn't it, Simon? Yeah, perseverance, patience and time, yeah. And what about sweet peas then? What have you got in line there?
Well, I think looking for varieties that will perform well, looking for novelty colours, some of the novelty colours that Dr. Keith Hammett's come up with, like Blue Lagoon and Blue Shift, that have incorporated some material from Lathyrus belenensis into Odoratus. I think that there's some interesting material, but it's there's a way to go yet, I think, before we've got really high-quality Spencer-type sweet peas with these novelty colours. So I think that's, you know, there are some possibilities there. And I still think there are many options in the dwarf types, the little cupids, looking at broadening the range in that type.
Well, Sutton's are offering this year Bluebell Wood, a compact, low-growing one.
That's right, yes.
Which I think came from John Masefield, didn't it, with
just
seedlings.
That's
I mean, that looks it. I've got it just growing as a seedling. And it branches very well. You know, it looks it makes a very nice young plant. So I'm optimistic that might be a good bank coverer.
Yes. I mean, these knee-high types, don't you think there are still some possibilities there with broadening the colour range and improving the performance and the longevity of them for garden use or for basket and container use as well?
I'm sure there is, and there's not been enough breeding work done, has there?
No.
You know, there used to be three or four major sweet pea breeders in this country, apart from yourself and some amateurs. I don't know who's working on them now. Yeah.
No, I think that the seedlings people in Malden are still doing a job. I think Phil Johnson's taken over there, and John Masefield has retired or partially retired. But I do still think that's a centre for sweet peas. I know Kings aren't necessarily doing any breeding, but they're doing a great job with production still in Coggeshall. So there is still some activity. I think it just needs promotion, doesn't it, to push things forward.
Why do you think you're on air here today, Simon? You know, you've mentioned so many seed companies. I can't thank you enough, really. And we're going to have all of them, I think, represented at Hyde Hall this coming summer. And looks as if, with a bit of luck and all my fingers crossed, we might get you a bit involved there too. Yeah.
Well, that's very exciting. And obviously, it's hopefully people will go to Hyde Hall to see the displays and see some of these annual types being grown. I don't think they get the coverage that they need through the press or the media generally, apart from in your pages, may I say.
That's it. Keep flattering. We need the flattery. But I was at Hyde Hall over the weekend. I mean, what fantastic Easter weekend weather we had, hey? I'm trying to grow just 20 or so sweet peas up cordons, because there's nobody is there growing sweet peas up cordons at any of the RHS gardens now.
No.
Yeah.
No, I think it would be really interesting to try and get people to demonstrate what good show quality sweet peas or cut flower quality, top quality cut flower sweet peas can look like, because I don't think people really know what is possible.
Well, when I bring a bunch of flowers into the office, as I like to do each week from pretty well May till August, I mean, the scent is just fantastic. And they just haven't seen long-stemmed sweet peas. You know, most of the garden-grown peas just have little short stems, don't they? Plant them late or sow them late, and they just don't have the energy to make that long stem. In the polytunnel, just before I came to the office, I've just got the first sweet pea flowers showing. A little bit of bud drop, but with this very warm weather, I'm hoping they'll grow out of that now. Yeah.
Yeah, the work that, you know, a common friend of ours, Mark Rowland and Maggie Goodsall, have done on breeding early flowering sweet peas has been tremendous. And again, they've not really had the publicity that or the credit they deserve for their early flowering winter and spring selections, because they were a turnaround. People had been touting these early flowering types, but no one maintains the stock seed, Peter. With these early flowering types, they need to be selected pretty well every year, and then the stock seed taken from those selected plants. But the winter sunshine, spring sunshines developed by Mark and Maggie are really great for this early season. And, you know, Mark was going to start breeding an early compact type, which didn't have bud drop, but he didn't continue with it. But I've been thinking to myself that would be something that would be interesting to do, to get really early flowering cupids that maybe the trade could use for an early flowering container or pot sweet pea.
Well, if we're going to have the sort of heat earlier in the year that we've just had, we're going to need early sweet peas, aren't we? Because they're going to burn out in July, August. They won't want really high temperatures, and there is a gap for container flowers once the tulips and all that wallflowers and stuff have gone over, and some dwarf sweet peas with fragrance, I add, at that time would be very useful. And you say, has Mark stopped breeding?
He started, but he stopped. He'd got two varieties which he called Sprite, Sprite, and there was a dark Sprite and a lavender Sprite, which would flower in, you know, late March, early April, about probably 6 weeks ahead of a normal cupid. But he stopped because we didn't, you know, didn't see the interest for it at the time, or, you know, he was moving towards his vegetable breeding, you know, the tomato work on Red Alert and Rosella and Black Opal, and also his interest in chilies. So that project dropped by the wayside. But I still think it has merit.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. Simon, it's very good to speak to you. Look forward to seeing you this summer with the Flora Select Nasturtium trial up in Hyde Hall.
Yes.
And let's hope for a good gardening summer.
Yes. Let's hope for just a little bit of rain, please. It's a little bit dry in East Yorkshire, and I'm just praying for a drop or two over the next 3 or 4 days.
I'm with that prayer.
Thank you.
Thanks, Simon.
Thank you very much.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, now some of the sales figures are out, then garden centres broke records over Easter. And it's no surprise. Goodness, what a wonderful gardening weekend that was. And people came out in their millions to buy plants. The thing I look at is the compost sales. That's a really good indication of where people are really gardening. You know, they've tipped out some of the pots which they used last year, or with the spring bedding that's gone over, they'll need a bit of fresh compost. And so that just shows you, the sales of compost show you how many people are out pottering about. A lot of homeowners, of course, don't have a garden, what we call yardening. You know, they just do a little pottering in raised beds or containers, growing some veg or herbs and flowers. And that compost sale shows me that there are millions of you at it. On the garden centre front, sales of businesses doesn't slow down any. And Dobbins of Edinburgh now have 31 of the Wyvale garden centres to add to their collection, and now are the biggest chain across the country. Be very interesting to see how they cope. There was a little bit of disappointing news from my point of view. Jim McColl is retiring from the Beech Grove Garden up in Scotland. Jim's been there since the outset of that programme. He was a really good, safe pair of hands. You know, when you watch and listen to Jim, then you just gain confidence. Well-trained, well-practiced, really sensible TV presenter, and I'll miss him. All of us can still watch the Beech Grove Garden. It goes out on a Sunday morning now at 12:30. But another disappointment, I understand they're changing from a 26 programme series this year to just 2 7 programme series. Don't the powers that be know that gardening just carries on all the year round? Doesn't work in 7 programme series. Jim was often heard to say, every day is a school day for gardeners. In other words, we never stop learning. Every week, the weather changes and we need to change our techniques and our methods. Jim, thanks for many, many programmes and your wonderful friendship. The programme won't be the same for me, I'm afraid, without Jim. But back in the garden, there are still lots of jobs that you could be doing, and shrub pruning is one of them. Those that flower in the spring, immediately after flowering, they can be pruned where necessary. I mean, winter jasmine, pretty straggly old thing at the best of times. Soon as that finishes flowering, you can trim that back. And it's the same story with the yellow forsythia, with pink and white flowering currant, the white-flowered spirea, or the spirea arguta, that's a very pretty thing. And when that's finished flowering, the foliage is very useful. If you cut some of that, it goes in very well with sweet peas. And with lilac just coming into flower, why not cut some branches, take off the leaves and arrange them in water indoors. And so you're doing the pruning at the same time as you're getting yourself some nice cut flowers. You take the leaves off because the flowers will last much better in water if they are defoliated. What's on? Well, on the 3rd and 4th at Powderham Castle, Toby Buckland's got his garden festival. And way north at Harlow Carr Gardens, on the 4th and 5th, they have their spring gardening weekend. So there's a couple of little jaunts out for you if you're in either of those parts of the country. My thanks to Hayloft Nurseries, sponsor of this podcast, and also my producer this week, Rich Jarman. I look forward to speaking to you next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.